My wife, Pam, who's one of the greatest gifts in the world that I was ever given, delegated that I'm going to get up here today. So, you know, whatever she says, I pretty much do. You might want to talk to me about that later. She's not quite like that. It is really a privilege to be here, and you all may not know this, but all over the Navigator network around the country, the reputation of what God's doing here at the Naval Academy through Kairos and PCF is all over. And I've heard about the good work of God and that's happening here. So I just thought, when I got up here, it's like, you know, I'm in the new job I have. I'm rushing from place to place. I'm going all over the place. And I just want to pause here for a second. This is all for me, okay? So I'm kind of self-centered sometimes. I just want to look around me because from what I've heard, God is on the move here. And I want to look at the heroes of the faith. I mean, really. I just want to see the faces of the people that God is using. And because this helps me. So tonight when I'm asleep, getting ready to go to bed, I didn't just kind of loosh up here and say a bunch of stuff, but I actually saw people who have hearts that really want to follow Jesus and want their lives to count.
Amazing thing. Psalm 133 says how sweet it is when brothers and sisters grow together. We could just get here together in the Spirit of God and we could just hang. It would be good enough. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, I was asked to share a little bit about why Pam and I give ourselves to the purposes of God. Now, I heard a rumor that the semester's almost over. I heard another rumor that from here, you all spread out all over the place in the summer. Is that right?
Nope.
There's all right. So there's some. Does everyone have some kind of summer assignment? So here it'll be all over the place. What's that? Commissioning. Yeah. You know, so you'll be all over the place. So I was thinking tonight, as I share what God has put on heart, why Pam and I give ourselves to the purposes of God. I was thinking, well, it could be that what I have to say could be reasons why you all might give yourselves to the purposes of God wherever you are this summer. And to some extent, it's no accident wherever you're going to be this summer that you're going someplace where God would have you show up for some reason. And you might be sitting on the edge of your seats to see how he unfolds what he has for you this summer. And so, why Pam and I give ourselves to the purpose of God? First thing I want to do is I'll just tell you a little story, kind of overarching. And then I'm going to talk about three reasons to give yourselves to the purposes of God. I came to faith, and I was just wooed by the Lord Jesus as a freshman in college. And my sophomore year, I went on a kind of a mission trip. It was spring break, and this spiritual mentor of mine took me on a trip across country. We went to college down in Fort Worth, Texas. And this mentor friend of mine had this old Volkswagen Beetle that we took off across the Painted Desert to go out to California. And we were just going. We were just living by faith, and we were praying. The gas gauge was going down. We're in the middle of the night, you know, praying that we'd have enough gas to get to the next gas station. Before we got outside of Fort Worth, literally, this is true, the you know, those old Volkswagen Bugs, they're kind of the linkage of the accelerator down there just goes straight. I guess it goes straight back to the engines in the back. But it came undone. So the gas pedal just was like going, you know, you couldn't do anything. And we had to, I mean, we actually fixed it with a paper clip. So this is what we were driving across the Painted Desert in California. So I can tell you stories about that, but I won't for another time. But we get out there, and I was on Newport Beach, and I'm having a quiet time there on Newport Beach with this friend of mine. And I'm in Genesis 22, verse 17 and 18, or actually I was in all of 22, but in verse 17 and 18 really hit me, because I'm just sitting there looking at the beach, looking at the waves, and in Genesis 22, 17 and 18 it says this: "Surely I'll bless you and make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you've obeyed me." Now that was God's promise to Abraham at that time. But it's also, through Christ, it's his promise to us today. And as I sat there on that beach, and I read that, "Surely I'll bless you and make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore." And I looked all over and I said, "Whoa, man, that's a lot of descendants." You ready, Pam? Spiritual descendants. Okay, spiritual descendants. But think of your life that way. Think of the motivation. Why give yourself to the purposes of God? Because God has such a plan for you that he would multiply your life spiritually in the lives of so many people. In fact, so many people that the very nations on the earth would be blessed, would be influenced, would be touched by the hand of God through your life. And as a sophomore in college, spring break, I sat there and I looked at the sand and I believed it. Do you believe it? I would guess that some of you believe it, some of you aren't quite sure yet, that God would actually use you that way. But believe me when I say, that's his desire. So I could stop right there. That's enough. But I'm going to give you three reasons that Pam and I give ourselves to the purposes of God. And you know, alliteration is a good thing, you know, being able to have. So the three points are C, I, A. Okay? Our daughter's graduating from college and she wants to be the next Sydney Bristow. You know, I don't know if A is anybody. You know, yeah, we're always concerned, and all of a sudden she's going to kind of just disappear and she's going to be, you know, a spy. So C, I, A. Okay? The first reason to give yourself to the purpose of the God, the first reason that Pam and I do, is the compassion of God. The compassion of God. In Luke chapter 19, in the New Living Translation, I love the way the New Living Translation puts this. Luke chapter 19, Jesus is going towards Jerusalem for that last time. And he comes up to the Mount of Olives, and he looks over Jerusalem, and he begins to weep. And here's what it says in Luke 19. "But as they came closer to Jerusalem, and Jesus saw the city ahead, he began to weep."
What verse that?
Oh, verse 41 to 44. Luke 19, 41 to 44. "He began to weep, and here's what he said: 'How I wish today that you, of all people, would understand the way to peace. But now it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close you in on every side. They'll crush you to the ground and your children with you. Your enemies won't leave a single stone in place because you did not accept your opportunity for salvation.'" Jesus had come and gone through that city many times during the months right before that. And he had proclaimed the message of the kingdom of God. And they hadn't heard it. And they hadn't understood it. And what was his response? Tears. The compassion of God. The first reason it's worthwhile to give yourself to the purposes of God is that we join God in his compassion. And I don't know why it is. When I came to faith, I've grown up in a religious home, gone to church some, but I never understood the heart of God for me. That he loved me so much. He wanted to walk with me. There was so much of his goodness and his grace he had set aside for me in my life. I never understood that. And then as a freshman in college, I came to understand that. And I just want to tell you that since that day, I've never gotten far away from that, knowing that God loves me so much such compassion on me, who's a sinner. And it causes me to want to have that same compassion. Pam and I were on staff at the University of Kansas in Lawrence, Kansas, and I would get home from trips, and I'd go in the Kansas City airport, and I'd go shooting across I-70 over there to Lawrence, Kansas, and then I would see up on the hill, Fraser Hall, with these two flags waving. You know, you can see, in Kansas, you can see Fraser Hall from a long distance. They're not much blocking the scenery. And I could see that, I could see Fraser Hall, and as I would come across many times, I'd sit there, and I would start weeping. Because what that represented to me was young men and women who were without hope and without God. And I connected with the heart of Jesus in that, because I know that as he stood over Jerusalem, that's what he saw. And I don't know about you, when you walk around here, or wherever you'll be this summer, my prayer for you is that God would give you that same heart. And as you walk, and as you look at the land, as you look at the buildings, as you look, that it would represent the people here who are far from the peace of God, from knowing God. So the first point, the first reason that we give ourselves is because we connect with the compassion, the heart of God. I don't know about you, but I want what is on God's heart on my heart. And Father, I pray that you would put upon our hearts in this room the things that are on your heart. Would you do that, Father? So see, compassion. The second point, the second reason to give yourself to the purposes of God this summer, wherever you are, is because it's your identity. It's your identity. It's not something we do. Sharing our faith, giving ourselves to those kind of things, is not something we do on a Thursday night, a Sunday morning, you know, when we go do an activity. The purposes of God, giving ourselves to the purposes of God, is our identity. It's what God has made us to be. In Genesis chapter 1, I don't know if any of you know this, it says that God made man, how? In his own image. And then right after that, it talks about that he wanted man, male and female, to be fruitful and do what?
Multiply.
Okay? So what you got there is God made man in his image, so what is getting multiplied? God's image. Yeah, his image. So he designed us to be like mirrors that reflect his glory, that reflect his character, that reflect who he is. So from the very beginning, when he made man and woman, the identity of man and woman was to reflect God's character. It's in our identity. It's in our DNA. It's who we were made to be. And then when Jesus, after he had died on the cross and raised from the dead, and he's with the disciples for one of the last times that he was standing on earth, he says to them this. In John 20:21, it says, again Jesus said, peace be with you. And then he says these words, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. It wasn't an activity. It wasn't something they would just come in. It is a great commission. There's no question. It's a great commission. But it's much more than a great commission. He was pointing out their very identity. For those of us that walk with Jesus, that follow him, it's our identity to be ones who are sent as he was sent. So no matter where we go, no matter where we are at any point in time, we're sent ones. We're ones that were made to reflect his image. So it's the compassion of God. We connect with Jesus' heart. And it's our identity. We live out of who God has made us to be, who he designed us to be. And A, finally, amazement. Amazement at God's purposes in our lives. Amazement at his goodness. Amazement at his salvation. If you got your Bibles, turn over to Psalm 71, 15. I love this. the psalmist understood and had this amazement. Psalm 71, verse 15 to 18. Here's what he says. Psalm 71, verse 15. And I'd ask you the question as I read this. Do you find yourself amazed in this way in the things that God is doing in your life? I hope you do. I hope as we open our eyes and as we soak up all that the Lord Jesus has for us, we will have this kind of amazement that the psalmist has. Here's what he says. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation, all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. The third reason that we give ourselves to the purposes of God is because we're amazed. We're amazed at God's goodness in our own life. That He would die for us. That He would give us His Holy Spirit. That He would call us His sons and daughters. That's an amazing thing. At least for me, it's an amazing thing. But God would love me that way. I know who I am. I look in the mirror. I know the thoughts that go through this head. I know the actions and the words that come out of this mouth. And God loves me. I know the missteps I've had as a husband. The big mistakes I've made as a dad of our three kids. I can look back and I can see the things. It's like I am guilty as charged. And yet the Lord Jesus loved me. And He still is loving me and moving on me for His sake, not mine. I don't deserve a bit of it. That's amazing. And so it's the reason that Pam and I live our lives in the way that we do. Because we connect with His compassion, we recognize it's our identity, and we're amazed. And we do it right where we are. So for Pam and I, it's in our neighborhood. It's our next door neighbors. It's just saying, hey, we're going to be present for them. You know, when I drive up in the driveway at the end of the day, and it's that long 25 yards over to the other guy's driveway, and he's out working on his car. You know, you think about where Jesus came from to come here. And I won't get out of my car to walk across the yard to say hi. It doesn't take that much time. But to give myself to connect with people who don't know him, to serve them. It's at our local Starbucks. It's decided we adopted our local Starbucks. So we said we're going to just start hanging out at this one place. Because we know if we start hanging out at this one place, maybe the life of Jesus will leak out through the cracks of our life. And people will see something different. And so we've been investing in relationships there at our local Starbucks and loving people there. You know, bringing them Christmas gifts, the baristas, and other people who do the coffee. And had doing parties. Have you ever heard of the band Dispatch? Yeah. Bradigan, you know who that is?
Not Bradigan.
Huh?
Not Bradigan.
Yeah. Pam drove him when he was like in nursery school. Pam drove him to school or something like that in our van. So he had a connection there. So he was back in Denver. He grew up in Denver, and I thought, well, that's kind of cool. People kind of know who he is. I didn't really know who he was. I hate to admit that. But and I said, we'll get him down to my Starbucks. So I went to the assistant manager. I said, well, you know, Dispatch, and all the people. Bradigan, I could have him. So we brought him, and he did a coffee shop at our Starbucks. And the assistant manager, and it didn't take any time or effort. I mean, we knew, you know, and Brad, his name's Brad Corley, actually. Brad says, they don't have to pay me anything, I'll just show up and I'll do it. I mean, we packed the place out. Starbucks had never made so much money ever. And so they come, and at the end of the night, we're cleaning up, and everybody's gone. The assistant manager comes over and is like, what is your deal? Why'd you do that? You didn't have to do that. And I said, Val, we love you.
We just want you to be successful. Now, she knows what we're about, so she knows there's more going on there. But we want to live life in a Jesus kind of way in front of people who don't know Him. And we want to just cause them to be completely perplexed. Because they can't figure it out. And when they do figure it out, guess what they're going to know? Jesus. It just doesn't get much better than that. Because these people are lost and without hope. And are living in brokenness and loneliness. And families going through pain, and kids broken from their parents all around us, and marriages crumbling. And what is that causing us? Doesn't cause us to get all upset and mad and stuff. Instead, it causes us, just like Jesus, to weep. And then we hear Jesus' voice saying, Doug, Pam, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And then we think about all that He's done in our life, and we're amazed, and we say, can't keep our mouth shut. So let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these men and these women. I thank you for the roommates that they have. Thank you for the people up and down the hall. Thank you for the people that will be sitting next to them in the study hall, for wherever they're going after this. I thank you for the people that you are going to bring across their paths this summer. Thank you for their families, their brothers, their sisters, their moms, their dads, their cousins, their aunts, their uncles. I thank you you put them right there in those places for your purposes and your glory. I pray that you empower them, that you give them courage, that you would put your peace upon them. I pray that you would continue to woo them to yourself, that they would know the love that you have for them. That you transform their lives, that the people around them would see them changing because of the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the gospel. And I pray that you would help them to be able to serve, to love, and to speak on your behalf as you give them opportunity. Thank you so much for what you're doing here in their midst as they love one another and they love the people that you bring across the paths. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Copyright by The Navigators, 2013, all rights reserved.